Live on 103.7 The Beat, it's The Judge Show with Judge Gregory C. Pittman.
Here come the judge. Here come the judge.
Tune in on Thursdays at 5 p.m. as the judge discusses family court, paternity, divorce, domestic relations, neglect, and your legal rights. Got a question? Call the judge at 231-722-8338. All rise. The show is now in session.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Honorable Judge Gregory C. Pittman Radio Show, brought to you by Grand Valley State University. We are so honored to have the judge in here. Even came in early for us. We feel like VIP.
Good to see you, man.
Good to see you too,
How
judge.
You doing?
Good, good. I'm fair, fair good. For an old guy.
Yeah, same here. older than you.
But you look good. You know, you don't look that old. You wear yours good.
Yeah. Lord is good to us, man.
Yeah. Keep him busy down there?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Way busy.
I see you're going to have a detail shop right across the street from the county building.
Oh, is that what that's going to be?
Yeah. Auto Spot is moving from Henry Street.
Henry Street.
Yeah.
So oh, okay. All right.
Drop it off while you're there, and, or they come to the parking lot and grab it.
Yeah, or I can just keep washing it like I do. Oh,
you do your own ride? No.
Yeah.
No, come on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. Shoot, why not? Why not?
That's a sight to see.
Oh man, it ain't nothing.
You actually wash your own car. You don't send it nowhere. They detail it, and
I will, when I press for time. But when I got time, I wash my own ride.
Oh wow. Yeah. Judge, you better than me.
Well, you're the cat who's commuting, you know, you bi-coastal. You multi-time zone-ish and all that kind of thing.
Wow.
I'm just here at the crib.
Wow. Know? Even when I was here 24/7.
Well, that just ain't your thing. And it ain't really my thing, you know. I'm not like the cats who refuse to pull the car out without dampening it off and wiping it down. That's not me.
That's not you?
No, I can ride with a little dust.
For a couple of blocks. He's going over to the office
for days or weeks.
A week. Oh, no, I can't imagine. You Omega Psi Phi. You ain't going like for a week now.
No, the brush can go with some dirty cars.
So. Oh, really?
Yes, sir. Be twisted.
Right.
How's your family, man?
Everybody's holding it down. Mom is good. Wife is good. Kids is good. Grandkids are good. Brothers are good. Everything's going pretty good.
Good days. That's good, man. That's good. Glad to hear that.
Yeah, we in a better state of mind than our president is.
Oh my God.
I'm worried about him, Judge.
You know, I'm concerned, man, that is he sly like a fox and he's got a real plan moving here, or is he just mercurial as they say? He likes being unpredictable. I'm wondering, is that by design, or is there really a lack of discipline in him? You know,
or maybe he just cuckoo.
I'm not here to say that, but is there such a lack of discipline that you cannot allow things that the President of the United States should allow to go past them, you know, not engage in. You know, I mean, we're all human. You know, we all have our buttons that can be pushed. But this guy seems to just seek out confrontations.
Yeah.
You know, and it's so episodal. It's so from moment to moment. You know, I'm good with you today, but if you say or do something that I feel take umbrage with something that I feel you shouldn't have done.
Right.
Then all of a sudden you move all the way over to this other list.
Right.
And you become the target of his ire and derision and that kind of thing. And that's, you know, that's, I mean, I don't know the man.
Right.
I don't know the man, but that's the kind of a level of maturity,
right,
that, or immaturity, that does not bode well for an office as serious as the President of the United States, ostensibly the recognized leader of democratic nations across the world.
Right. In my opinion, it seemed like the bar has been lowered when they elected him. It's like it was a lot of exceptions in there. You know? There's a lot of different exceptions. We're gonna he got a bunch of waivers for his. You know what I mean? And then, Pierre, we're gonna let you get in this class even though you don't have the GPA. You know, we're gonna give you a waiver. It seemed like he had a bunch of waivers for him.
Well, you know, here's my impression of all of this. He's always been given credit for. By many who support him,
mm-hmm,
for telling it like it is.
Right.
Okay. And that in and of itself is not enough to qualify you to then govern.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate plain spokenness. I'd like to know where you're coming from.
Right.
You know, so we can, you know, I can cut through the having to divine and decipher where we stand, and let's get to what the issue is.
Right.
But for a person to qualify to be President of the United States because you speak bluntly, or you speak, a lot of people gave him credit for speaking the way ordinary people speak.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what I get out of that. We all go to the barbershop or sit in the stands, you know, during a football game and nothing's going on, and we have our opinions.
Right.
And we speak those opinions.
Right.
That doesn't mean I'm qualified to govern because I say something that resonates with you that you say, you know what, that's straight talk. That's plain talk.
Right.
There's plenty of people who talk plainly.
Right.
But the country, the United States, the government of the United States is a tricky proposition. Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, I'm not here to make that judgment. It is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
It takes some skill. It takes some understanding. It takes the ability to create relationships that allow for the type of negotiation and consensus building and ultimately, hopefully, some cooperation and some compromise that gets us to be able to make decisions that move this country in some, you know, discernible direction.
Right. Right.
So I don't need a guy who's going to be the commander in chief and the, you know, the president of the United States whose primary gift for that position is that they talk bluntly. We talk bluntly.
Exactly. Every day.
We can identify our frustrations.
Mm-hmm.
We can identify where we feel like here is a situation and people aren't addressing it. We can complain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we can do all of those things. And so far, in reality, man, I mean, you know, except for very small exceptions, that's all he's really doing.
Right.
Is complaining. Yeah. He's complaining now about his GOP, about his own party's leadership.
Right.
He's complained about the idea that his party has had 7 years to figure out how to replace the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
And then when they got their opportunity, which is now governing,
mm-hmm,
they couldn't pull it off. And he's complaining about that. But you're the president. It's your job to take these factions of the government and get them to work in a manner that gives you then the opportunity to sign legislation.
Right.
You can't sit there and criticize Mitch McConnell or Paul Ryan, the leaders of these institutions, the leader of the Senate and the leader of the House, when they could not look to you for the leadership to pull all this together to make it go.
Right.
So then you step back and say, you know, what a shame. They've had 7 years and they missed it by one vote. Well, I mean, Mr. President, the idea is that if you're as close as one vote to being able to accomplish what you need to accomplish, that's where the value of your presidency comes into play.
Right.
You can't get a vote. You can't convince that vote.
Right.
Come on.
Throw it back at him.
That's really what being president is all about. That's what leadership is all about, is finding the way to close. Look, the art of the deal, right? I mean, that's his claim to fame.
Right.
You couldn't close the deal. That's what you campaigned on, the idea that I am a negotiator, I'm a phenomenal businessman, and I make deals.
Right.
I haven't seen you pull off making a deal of any magnitude and of any value to this country yet.
It's been tough on him. Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, when you talk as much junk as he talks, when you talk as much as he talks,
right? Right.
You know, I constantly preach to my son and my daughter, under promise and over deliver.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
Under promise and over deliver. Shut your mouth.
Right.
Be very careful about what it is that you tell people that you're going to be able to do.
Mm.
But when the deal is done, they should be able to look back and say, man, we really got a lot out of him. Mm-hmm. We got a lot out of her. He does just the opposite. He has overpromised.
Right.
And underdeliver. So now we're on the precipice. We're on the verge. Well, at least it's a discussion, although the congressional leaders appear to be kind of trying to put cold water on. But now it's a discussion that the government may shut down because he can't deliver on this wall that was supposed to be built.
And paid for by Mexico.
And and then the transcripts come out from the, you know, from the conversation with the Mexican president, where he's basically begging this president that, hey, man, I'm looking bad if you guys don't start. Is that the art of the deal? Begging?
Judge, you know, on the street, we would call a person like him a fraud.
Well, what am I calling? My son called a fake deal, a fool. He fooled.
That's a new term.
Isn't that
a new term.
I heard my son use that a couple weeks ago.
Okay,
man. That's fool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's all those. I could think of some other stuff too. But
well, I mean, let's go a little further. Since we're gonna talk about him, I'm gonna go and talk about it.
Right.
Where is his core? What deep down does he really believe?
Mm-hmm.
Where does he plant his flag and say, these are the principles, these are the core values of this presidency and where I think this country needs to go? What is that core?
Yeah.
Because from what I see, it's about expedience and convenience. What's popular. I mean, how can I stand up before the veterans of foreign wars the day after I stood before a audience in Phoenix and said the things that I said in Phoenix?
Right.
And then stand up and talk about our country coming together and working together and thank you for fighting for allowing us to be able to congeal as a country and see things the same way. And yet the night before you call the press un-American.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, none of us, PA, you are the press.
Yeah, I know. I'm un-American. I mean,
none of us agree with everything we hear that's reported, because it does come from a point of view,
right?
A perspective. That's you cannot divorce that from the people, the human beings who serve as the media.
Right.
But to accuse them of being un-American, to make them the enemies of, I've heard him use the term there, the enemies of the state.
That sound like dictators right there.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's, that brings me back to this, PA.
Uh-huh.
Is there a discernible plan by him to devastate what is considered the establishment GOP, the establishment Republican Party? He's talking about, you know, primarying Republican senators that he doesn't like.
Right.
He's going to run somebody who falls in line with what he likes,
okay,
to beat him in the primary so they can run and get that seat. Is he trying to create a legislature, a Senate and a House of Representatives that doesn't work for the country, but instead works for him?
Staff.
Yeah, a staff.
Yeah.
People to carry his water, as opposed to the independent branch of government that was contemplated by the Constitution.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Are you trying to turn the United States into Trump Incorporated?
Right.
But most of the leaders with whom he has established relationship and speaks highly of are people who operate in a pretty autocratic kind of way.
Right.
They may not necessarily be dictators, but they have congealed power in their particular country in such a way that they get very little pushback from any other portion of any other institution, and they kind of have their own way. And here's what was disturbing. I hear people who, when they are interviewing Trump supporters and people who are still supporting him, you hear them say, well, if they would just let him do what he's trying to do, we'll be better off. That's not how this
right.
That's not how this works. That's not how this works, right, man.
Let's let him do what he want to do.
If they would get out of his way, if they would just work with him, if they would just allow him to implement his plan and his program. Well, first of all, I'd like to see it. I mean, really, I'd like to really see comprehensively, not reactionary, prospectively,
right,
proactively.
Exactly.
What is it that you're going to do? And that goes back to the idea, what are these core values? What are the principles that this presidency is based on? I don't see it.
I see it.
You say it's hate? You say it's hate?
Yeah, hatred. Yeah. Being divisive.
Here's I won't say hate yet. But there is certainly the clear, very clear indicia of indifference. You're not on my screen, so you're not important.
Mm-hmm.
So when you see young, preppy, little college boys walking around trying to be gangster and carrying tiki torches.
Right.
And you know, shouting Nazi slogans and indicating that, you know, Jew won't replace us and that kind of thing.
Right.
And you cannot call that for what it is. You have to equivocate. You reach for the idea that there were some good people within that group.
Mm.
Really? Good people don't march down the street with other people who are shouting Nazi slogans.
Right.
Yeah. They don't talk about blood and earth or whatever that blood and soil,
mm-hmm,
which is, you know, one of the linchpins of Nazi of the Nazi philosophy back in the 30s, heading into the 40s. We take this soil by blood if necessary.
Right.
Who are the good? Point them out.
Yeah.
Point the one who went with them.
You're good.
And said, I'm just here. I'm a good person. But you're out here with them to be seen. You know, the company you keep.
Right. 45. Judge, it's several things I want to ask you today.
Yes, sir.
Of course, you've been. You heard about the noose being found at a school.
Yes.
You heard about the racial epithets.
Yep.
Words that was written a statue of Muskegon High School.
Yeah.
And then a kind of a little racial tension. I ride past Hort Street. I go down Hort Street every day coming to work here, and all of a sudden on Monday. Mm-hmm. You see a Confederate flag hanging right there in the heart of the black community across from Hackley Hospital. Of course, they have a right to do that. Mm-hmm. It was just the timing of it. It makes you think, like, what is going on that is drawing this kind of negative view?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Well, I mean, you know, I think one of the important roles of the presidency is that president sets the tone for the country. Or at least attempts to set the tone for the country.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the responsibilities of the presidency is that you exhibit and model what you believe is good for this country. Remember Bush back young Bush president, he came into office talking about being a compassionate conservative.
Hmm.
I mean, you're sending the message that my conservatism is going to be colored by what I believe to be what I think is compassionate for people.
Right.
I mean, that's a tough walk anyway.
Exactly.
But at least he was acknowledging the idea that this is the kind of president I want to be for you. This is what I want in this country.
Right.
Obama comes in, and his thing is all about trying to uplift those who have been sort of locked out. And he starts with the idea that health care should be, and he's never said it because he was smart enough not to say it often, but that should be something that's guaranteed to us as a right in this country.
Exactly.
Whether you agree with it or not, that's, you know, that's your call.
Right.
But that's where he stood. That's what his presidency started to be about. How do I address the constituencies that have sort of not been addressed before? That and the fact that he came in at a time when this country was facing the worst economic dilemma it has seen since the Depression.
Hmm.